Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Prozy's Corner. This is your co-host, Nikki W., and we have your host, author Maura Prose.
Hello, everyone. Happy Saturday.
Yay! We finally made it.
Yay! Yes. Yes. We are so excited about this show.
Yes.
So excited.
Fantastic show today.
Yes, we have Carl Ulysses, and he's a tailor for Black Panther. He's been on Captain America, and he's also been a tailor for my future husband, The Rock, which I'm so excited about. So hopefully he gets to see him again, and I get to FaceTime. Yes. And then we have our favorite author, Elam B. King, on here. We're going to be talking about Chapter 14. So we're excited about that. We've got more people calling in, too, so we can get female and male perspectives. So today is going to be a very awesome show.
Yes, it is. I've been waiting
all
week
for
this. Yes.
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Hi, Carl. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Today's a beautiful day, and I can't be happier to be on and talk to you today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. We really do appreciate it. Tell us how you got started, Paul.
Actually, I went to Morehouse College to actually become a doctor. And my junior year of college, I went to a minority medical education program at Duke University and wanted to be a doctor. So when I returned, I took one course, a basic construction course at Clark Atlanta University, and that's when I learned how to sew, and that's how God blessed me to learn the art of sewing and the art of tailoring.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, to say you go to college, you're going for one thing, and then all of a sudden this switch flips, and look at where your life and God has led you. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's worked out. And from there, I apprenticed for a tailor, moved to New York, learned a lot of different things about fashion, and got a call to move back to Atlanta to tailor for films. And I've been doing that for about the last 5 years.
Yes, I was stalking your IMDb this week, and looking at all the things you've done. You've done a lot of shows, movies. I mean, things that people have heard of, very, very popular shows, from Power to the movie All Eyes on Me. So how was it with your first show? How was that on set?
My first show was in 2013. It was a mm-hmm. film called Barely Lethal with Samuel L. Jackson, who also went to Morehouse College. So it was kind of fun working with someone that went to my alma mater.
Right.
But I was very, very nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I had just moved from New York specifically for this position. And then I also did not know if I would, you know, what I was going to do next. So I was hired for this movie, but what would I do when this movie ended? So I had a lot of mixed emotions and feelings, but everything turned out very well.
Yeah. So that was your first movie?
Correct. That was my first movie.
And now look at where you are now. You're with doing Black Panther and movies that you probably would never have dreamed, Captain America, and you're there. You can say, you know what, check that off the list.
Yes, God has definitely blessed me, and you know, as long as I stay focused on Him and stay prayed up, He's taking care of the rest.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
is.
Great,
that's
Carl.
Great. I was reading your Instagram and your posts and your post after you did your opening, I think it was, your business, and I had tears in my eyes because I was like, I don't even know this man, but this is good stuff. I mean, this is stuff that people need to hear about.
I agree, Carl.
Yes, it is.
You should let me write your biography.
We might have to talk about that. One promise that I made to God when it happened, when I opened my business and my showroom down here, was that if He opened any door, you know, I would tell everybody and let everybody know that that it was, you know, the glory, His glory and His favor that actually, you know, put me in this position, and not mine alone.
God is good.
He sure is.
All the time. You
we
know
have
you have to say that.
A lot of callers. All the time, yes. We have a lot of callers, Carl,
all the
that
time.
I'm
exactly.
sure want to ask questions. So, Nikki, you see all the callers?
Yeah.
See who has questions.
Yeah, go ahead and keep talking to him. I'll figure him out.
Okay, so, Carl, tell me about how you get the jobs. Like, how do they contact you?
So, basically, I'm in a union now. Georgia has their own union, 479. And what it is you can get calls from the union, or you can get jobs through the union, or you can also, Georgia is also a right-to-work state, so you don't have to be in the union. But mostly how I've been getting my jobs are either by referral or because I've worked with those people before.
Wow.
Now, when I go to work on a film or a TV show or, you know, a promo ad or anything like that, every single day that you go to work is basically like you're almost being interviewed again. So I make sure that I have a positive attitude. You know, I do a wonderful job. I finish things in a timely fashion. And I think those are the things that put me at the forefront of people's minds when they want to rehire me, because I am so easygoing and I'm very professional. So I don't really... I don't want anybody to have anything negative to say about me. So I just basically, I've been getting everything through referrals. I haven't had to interview for anything since my first year.
That's amazing,
and people have just kept calling me. It definitely is.
Congratulations to your success. I know it will continue, and I think your story is amazing. That you know, and like you said, word of mouth. You do have to have, you know, we all go by our reputation, and it's good that, you know, people are just like, call Carl, call Carl. So that is great.
Mhm. We have Pastor Don Jr., CEO, that has a question for Carl. I'm going to bring him in.
Okay.
Good morning. Welcome.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network. Come on out, sunny Las Vegas. Good morning, y'all. It's 7:10 a.m. It's hot, hot, hot. But I'm up. How y'all feeling this morning?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. I love your spirit.
Amen, amen. Praise God. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit anointing that's in me. And I'm glad you picked up on the energy, my brother. You had me on fire. And if I could hold down the station for just a second and take 30 seconds, a lot of times when you have these great major multi-billion dollar releases, everybody watched the movie in a time duration of 3 hours, and they think that that movie was recorded in 3 hours in real time. In all actuality, it's a lot of preparation, it's a lot of planning, it's a lot of meetings, a lot of focus groups. If you could, Brother Carl, if you could come to the floor and please tell everybody what city and state you're calling in from and let them know about how the pre-production go, because especially with the clothing situation side, being a tailor, you have to be way out before they even start going with the actual media piece. So if you could, Brother Carl, could you enlighten all of us?
Yes, that's a wonderful question. So I received a call in, I think it was October of 2016, and that's actually when we started filming. But that's when we started making the clothing and going to meetings, finding out looking at the illustrations that Marvel had approved. And that's when we sat down with Ruth Carter, who is an amazing, phenomenal costume designer. She changed my life. But we actually had to meet. We worked probably about 6 days a week for about 6 months or even longer. Ruth Carter and the Marvel team, they actually worked even longer than that, probably a year. And also Ryan Coogler, who was the director. But every day we would come in, it was almost like a project runway on steroids. We all had our own cutting tables, our own sewing machines. And then Ruth would come to us and tell us what she wanted us to make. And each of us had different cast members that we made clothes for. So we had one young lady named Tamara, and she made all the clothes for Shuri, who was T'Challa's younger sister, a Black Panther's sister. And it was kind of like that. I made a few pieces for T'Challa, Black Panther. And then we had someone that worked for Nakia, who was Lupita, and also Okoye, who was Denai. So it's kind of how she delegated what we would make. And then from there, we would have Ryan Coogler to come in, and he would walk the floor and look at, you know, the designs we made. We would tell him why we made it this way, how we interpreted the illustrations. And then he would give us some pointers and tell us he wanted it to move like this, or how he saw it in his head, or could we change this? He wanted it to be a little more, to drape a little bit more. So everybody worked together. You know, the set designer, she would come in sometimes and she would just see how the colors would work with her set. So we had a very, very close-knit team, and it was amazing. You know, the spirit of just and the ambiance of the warehouse and the tailoring shop was amazing, and we all worked together to do this. And it was countless hours, long meetings. On a daily basis, I said we were there for about 6 days a week. On a daily basis, we would work at least about 15 hours a day. So it was very, very, not really stressful, but when you, at the end of the day, you were tired because it really took a lot. You were drained, yeah. So it was amazing, though.
Can I ask one more question? I'll step out the way. This last question, and I love what you said. And to the other believers out there, this is a true testament to where your faith will go before you, and your gift will make room for you. Because he said that he got a short little course, and he ran with it. He got that one little talent, and he tripped it. But my question is, what would you say drive you more, passion or purpose?
Purpose.
Oh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm.
Purpose drives me more because I know that I can't do it alone. I know it's not all about me. I know I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for a greater purpose. And as long as I have that, and I'll say this, because I don't have a problem with being transparent. When I got hired for Black Panther, I didn't know if I could do it. You know, I had to be strong and pray each and every day and push myself, because some of these things that Ruth was asking me to make, I was like, I don't know if I am good enough. I'm 35, so then at that time I was 33. And my counterparts were, the youngest person above me was like 45, I think. And all of the other tailors were in their 50s and 60s, late 40s, 50s, and 60s. So, and they had formal training and things of this sort. So God worked on me, and Ruth worked with me, you know, making pieces for Black Panther. I didn't know if that was something that I could do. But God worked through me and sowed through me and did whatever he needed to do to make sure that it came out wonderfully, and Ruth,
and it
and
did.
Also
it came out amazing.
Thank you so much.
I've seen the movie twice, and I'm going again. So, Carl, I want to introduce you to my cousin, Jackie. She's on the line, and she has a question for you.
Hello, Jackie.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Hey, Cousy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I miss you.
I know. I miss you, too. I miss you, too. We'll see each other soon, though.
Yes.
So I'm glad I'm getting a chance to talk to you. I mean, like Mara, I've seen the movie. Actually, I've seen it three times. And I'm like, yeah, I should just go see it again. The movie was amazing. And I'm sure that you've been asked this question just like everybody, but I want to get your perspective. Like, when you were going through all this, and I hear, I mean, you're talking about all the work you put in and how hard it was. Did you ever, you know, when you started this, could you have ever imagined that the movie would become as big as it did? And what was that for you watching it grow and evolve, you know, and really, you know, watching the people respond and react the way they did, you know, people showing up in movies, you know, wearing, you know, costumes and, you know, and dressing up, you know, like people from the movie, like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, because, Carl, this made history, you know, and you're a part of that. So it's got to be just overwhelming a little bit.
It definitely is. And I'll tell you, there were about, just to start out before I answer this question, there were about between six and nine tailors. So all of us actually, you know, made all of the items that were, all of the garments that were on the movie. But we never, and I talked to them, we never thought that it would be as big as it is, and that the people would receive it how they have.
Mm-hmm.
We knew it would be we knew it was going to be big, but we didn't know it would be this huge. We didn't know that people would show out and see the movie 2, 3, 4 times. We didn't know that everyone would show up in clothing, you know, for the movie and African garments. But we knew that we had something special.
just because so everyone was so good at what they did, and they worked so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But we did not know it would be as huge as it is, and we didn't know that it would break this many records. And it'll probably still be breaking records in the weeks to come.
Exactly. Yeah, it's great. I'm so proud of the entire cast, the movie, everything. It was just a phenomenal movie. It was refreshing to see, you know, our black culture, regal, not, you know, strung out on drugs and fighting and breaking up or whatever else, but, you know, royalty and ruling and just, it was just so elegant to me. So
right.
I can't say enough about it. Yeah, it's great. Any more questions, Jackie?
Well, one of the things that I did want to ask, you know, you I don't know if you completely touched on this, and I was reading an article, and they were talking about just all of the thought that went into create, like, everything, right? They talked about, like, in particular, there was, like, the fight scene at the casino, right, and how what everybody was wearing was so, you know, you probably wouldn't have noticed it unless they told you, right, but it was the colors, the Wakanda colors and things like that, and I'm just wondering, you know, when you guys were doing the movie, it just seemed like there was so much intricate thought that went into every single scene. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just that you came out on screen. It's like, and I'm just curious, like, how was that process for you? It's because it seemed like every single scene had a storyboard and that
yeah.
you all were trying to tell a story in every single thing. Nothing was thrown together. Is that, you, it was just every, there was thought with everything. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. And we had a great leader for costume, and I'm going to say leader because that's definitely what she was. She led us through each scene. So let's say next week we're working on Casino. So we have a couple weeks to get ready for that. She would come down and she would set out these storyboards and say, okay, you have this person, you have this person, you have this person. This is how I want this scene to feel. These are the colors. This is the fabric we're going to use. She would actually take fabric, sit them in bins next to our cutting table so we would know what fabrics we had to use. So most of that was actually her speaking with, like, Ryan Coogler and the illustrators and Marvel. And then she would bring that to us, whatever decisions they came to, and she would bring that to us. And she would say, these are the colors that you would use. This is the silhouette that I want. This is how I want it to drape. And then we would be left to interpret what she told us, basically, in what we made. And that's how it would work. And then we would have fittings with the actors and actresses. And Ryan Coogler would come in and look at them. And then they'd be put on screen, on film.
Wow.
So it was a very, very tedious process.
I bet. Yeah, because the costumes were so detailed. And like Jackie said, you know, everyone was telling the story. So I can imagine that was intense. And then are you already scheduled for the next movie, Black Panther 2?
I don't know how much I can say, but I have received calls, so it will
okay.
be gearing up soon.
Got you. Yeah, I understand that. Cause,
I want to get in trouble.
Right. So we'll just leave that alone. So we'll just speak that into existence. Okay, the world,
yeah.
We want Carl on Black Panther 2. Okay, so make it happen.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any other questions, Nick? And then I see a bunch of.
Yeah, they're just listening in.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I know we only have a few more minutes with you, Carl. So is there anything that you want to promote and, you know, tell our listeners about you so that they can continue to follow your work?
Well, one thing that I really want to say is not even really about my work, but more so about how you carry yourself and how you just, for those listeners that do follow God, no matter what skill set you have, no matter what it is that you want to do, no matter what resources you have, if you give it to God and you relinquish all control to God, He'll make the desires of your heart come true, and He'll bring that to fruition. And that's exactly what He's done for me.
Yeah.
And I just want to put that out there because I know that there are a lot of people that are wanting to get their visions out into the world and wanting to be more than what they are. But they just need to focus on God and He'll see it through. But I would like to
promote. I love your
spirituality,
Carl.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. But I would like to promote my business. Carl Ulysses, I am a master tailor and custom clothier in Atlanta, Georgia. I have a showroom in Buckhead, and I create custom suiting, custom shirting for both men and women, custom shoes for men and women, custom jeans for men, and then I also do alterations. And if you are in the Atlanta area and would like some of my services, you can go to Carl Ulysses, that's C-A-R-L, Ulysses, ULYSSES.com. And you can also look me up on Google to get my address and contact information. And I am also at Carl Ulysses on Instagram and Facebook.
Do they have to make
wonderful.
An appointment?
Ma'am?
Or do you do walk-in? Do they make appointments or do you do walk-in?
Oh, I'm sure
oh,
you got to
yes.
have an appointment, huh?
Yeah.
It's appointment only
yeah.
just because I do so many things, so I might be on set or I might be running to the fabric store.
Mm-hmm.
So if they contact me, I'll contact them back and we can set up an appointment.
Yeah, you go.
Well, I'll be setting
I don't
up
want people
an
looking up your
Carl. Yeah. No, I'll be setting up because I need you to put me together for my book cover picture. So, and I will be in Atlanta. So we will talk.
Wonderful. I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. I know
thank
I'll look
you
good.
So much.
Yes,
thank
Carl,
you so
thank
much.
Thank you for taking the time. And please keep in touch with us and
yes.
let us know, you know, how things are evolving and your new projects and come back to the show too.
I would love to. Thank you so much. And
you're
you all
welcome
please
anytime.
Do the same for me because, you know, what you do inspires my purpose, and my purpose inspires yours. And, you know, we're all in this together. So I definitely will. Thank you so much, and God bless you both.
God bless you.
And buy my book, Carl, too, okay?
I will. I definitely will. Send me the information, and I'll get it.
I will. I will. I'll send you the information, and I want to write your story, too. So we got a lot to talk about.
We definitely do.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Have a good Saturday. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. You all do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's Elam time.
Fantastic.
Where is he? Yeah, where is he?
He's
Elam,
right
Elam.
Oh, I'm here. I was going to tell Carl, don't hang up, but.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I was
like,
trying to text him, and I couldn't get back
together.
To my phone, so he probably
yeah.
don't have to talk to
him.
But,
Elam, I'm
hey.
Going to let you tell our listeners what we're doing today.
I'm sorry?
So I'm going to let you tell the listeners what we're doing today with the chapter and your segment.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say, and it kind of ties to what I'm going to talk about, we're going to talk about chapter 14, what to do while you wait. And I think that Carl was actually being extremely humble. I've had an opportunity of knowing him since 2009. He's a man of Kappa Alpha Psi, and I was a part of his intake. I was the I assisted to being a part of his intake. So I've seen his journey over the past, what is this, 18, I guess 9 years or whatever. And like I said, he was being very humble. I watched, like he said, you know, it's interesting. You go to college and you get a major or whatever, and then you think you're going in one direction, and God has a different plan for you. And so I had a chance of, after he became a Kappa a couple of years later, he disappeared and he went to New York. And so you're talking about somebody who was, you know, he was sleeping on, I think, his brother's couch or whatever, and just, you know, living what would be a very humble life. And I was, remember thinking to myself, and this is 09, this is before I even took a walk from a personal development perspective, and, you know, I'm like, man, you was at Morehouse and you a tailor? Like, I don't understand. you know, like, I don't get it. And lo and behold, you know, and now out pops, you know, the number four biggest movie in the world, in history ever, right? And
right.
And at the end of the day, and you see that there was a journey that was behind it, but he was following his purpose. And I think that that truly ties into one of the biggest things when it comes to what to do while you wait. I think that a lot of times that ladies that are out there, and even men as well, you know, we pray and God send me, you know, this person and that person, whatever. And you know, I hope I don't lose any friends when I say this, but if you know, if my name was God, like, why would I send you somebody when you haven't even figured out why I put you here?
Exactly.
And so from
right.
a purpose perspective,
right.
you have to follow your purpose first. You're over here praying for a companion, and you want to be attached to somebody else where you're not even, you don't even got you yet, you right yet.
Right.
You got to get you right first. So that when somebody comes along, you don't jack that person up because you're trying to figure out what you want to do in life, right?
Exactly.
And I understand the people who have gone to college and they've majored in something. I'm one of those people as well. You know, if you had asked me 2-3 years ago, am I going to be an author, I'd have been like, no. I'm not sitting down and writing anything. Are you kidding me? I'm out here doing this sales thing, and I'm getting this money, right?
Right.
But meanwhile, God had a different purpose for me, and that's why I don't want to beat anybody up at the same time, as if, you know, if you haven't found your purpose, you're a bad person. No, you're not, because it took me probably until my mid to late 30s before I was like, wait a minute, I don't like what I'm doing. I think I'm supposed to do something different, right? So I want to encourage everybody that, you know, you want to focus on that now. What makes you happy, right? What can you do, like Carl was just saying, for 15 hours a day and get up the next day and do it again? And I'm going to give you a key phrase that I hear from a lot of people, particularly ladies. I do hear this every, you know, towards the end of the day, maybe it's 4 or 5 o'clock, maybe in the afternoon. I'm tired. Well, let me just give you this. If you're walking in your purpose, you're never tired. You just need
right.
rest. Right, because the body needs rest, right? So that's understandable.
That's right.
But you shouldn't be walking around. If you walk around every day talking about I'm tired or I can't wait till Friday, you're not walking in your purpose. Those are key indicators. Because once you walk in your purpose, you don't know what a Friday and a Monday looks like. They look like the same days.
Right.
Okay? So that's the first nugget I just want to throw out there, is that begin to walk in your purpose, because as you do that, then, and particularly for my ladies that are out there, God will send you your companion. Okay, so that's why when people start jumping on the internet and swiping left and swiping right, you know, little Tinder stuff or whatever, people start swiping. Man, you don't have to worry about any of that. And nobody knows how long that is. Maybe you're supposed to walk in your journey for 10 years by yourself, right? Maybe it's going to be a year by yourself, because maybe you're walking in your purpose right now for those people who are blessed enough to have found it. And you're like, well, I'm already walking in my purpose. I haven't been sent to anybody. We're not on your time. You're on God's time.
Right.
And we don't know how long that's going to be. If Abraham had to wait 23 years before he, you know, he was wanting a kid, right? He had to wait like, what, 23 years or something? If he had to wait 23 years, how long you think you got to wait?
Exactly.
And you don't like it, and I get it, but and you can go ahead and rush the altar if you want to and make a seasonal decision, i.e. divorce, okay?
Right.
You can make a seasonal decision if you want to, but I would encourage you to begin to walk in your purpose and be, and this is the other thing, be okay being single. Be okay while you wait. Relax. And that was one of the things, if you, you know, in chapter 14, if you read that the men were saying, you know, enjoy your life, you know. That constant thing that I was hearing is don't worry about when your husband is coming. Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
So the men were actually advising the ladies of just be comfortable within yourself. Love yourself first. Because if you love yourself and you learn how to love yourself, then you know what love looks like when it walks up to you. The problem is some of us have had love walk up to us, right? And because we've got the damage, right? We got other things going on, right? We don't even know what love looks like. We don't even know our love language, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basics.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and if you notice, I haven't said anything that's like, you know, just astronomical. This is basic. Love yourself. Understand who you are. Walk in your purpose. Does that make
sense? Exactly. Yeah,
yes,
it does. And that's why I had my cousin call in. Yeah,
right.
Jackie, because, you know, she started out, I mean, she went to Howard, Vanderbilt. She was working at Wells Fargo. And then her grandmother had this barbecue sauce that, you know, nobody else, everybody raved about. And she just decided it was calling her to make that barbecue sauce and put it out there. And now she's won, like, I don't know how many awards. How many awards have you won now, Jackie? Probably close to 100, and she'll be in stores soon. I mean, it's amazing, and she's following her purpose too. And so, I'll let her speak. Obviously, I'm a proud cousin, so.
Oh wow! Like I wasn't even expecting that. Yeah, no, I mean, it, exactly like you said. I mean, I think that I had prayed about it for a long time. You know, I always knew that I wanted to have my own business, right? And I didn't want to always be working for someone else. And although it's nothing wrong if you work with someone for someone else, and that's also sort of an interim phase. Like you'll be working for someone else probably even when you start your own business. But I kept saying, God, okay, give me that idea, give me that idea. And sometimes what I've learned is you'll focus in and spend so much time thinking about what is that idea, what is that idea, and it could be something right there in front of you, right? And it could be as simple as something that you prepare in your kitchen. Doesn't necessarily be you got to come up with an algorithm or an app or you got to come up with this. It may not always be that, you know. But when you are on the right path, it does come easy. And I do remember when I said, you know, and I told my aunt about this, I said, you know, I'm gonna run with it. Let's see what happens. And I was standing in church and I said, okay, God, you know, I really need a name. Like I can't get started. I can't start, you know, I need a name, you know, cause I needed it to have focus from the beginning. And I was standing in church and it's clear as day. It was so clear to me. It was just, God said Southern Bells. And I started looking around and I'm like, okay, God, wait, okay, you know. And then the ideas just started flooding in, you know. And that very next week, I got on the phone with one of my friends who happened to be a trademark attorney, and we just started the legal process. And I knew I was on the right track because I just felt like God was flooding me with inspiration and flooding me with ideas. And every step I took,
I remember,
you know, when I would get discouraged, you know, I remember when I got my first award. You know what I mean? We had been selling to the public for a year, and the first award, it was a top five, got an award, and here we took like a fifth place win that first year, and I said, man, I've only been doing this a year, and we're already recognized amongst 400 plus other entries. But I always looked at that as God's way of telling me, stay focused and keep moving forward. You know, here we are now, 86. You know, it's humbling, but it was definitely, you know, a matter of praying for it, realizing when God was moving and just staying prayed up, staying, you know, just staying diligent. Because
right.
It's not easy. You're going to have a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
and
just like
that,
with the writing.
Anything in life.
I think a key piece that she just blessed us with is that a lot of people are out here praying for a person to come along. You need to be pray for your purpose.
Your purpose.
Then the spouse comes, right?
Exactly.
Everybody's story is the same. I don't care if you talk about, you know, Tyler Perry, who used to be broke, or Robert Kiyosaki, who used to be living in his car with his wife, right? Everybody, you're going to have to go on a journey. If you don't want the journey, then you don't want the spouse. You don't want the money, right? And go ahead and make your little seasonal decisions, and good luck. That's the reason why that the graveyard is a place that has the most ideas, right, and the most opportunities. Because people died with their songs still in them. They died with their purpose still in them, and they never blessed everybody with it. So if you want to be like some of those people, that's fine, right? But if you really want to get out here and get this thing in life, don't listen to the dogma that's around you, the noise of, you know, if you walk like this or put this wig on or put these nails on or these eyelashes or whatever, then he'll come to you. I mean, it doesn't work. It's almost like going to school and getting good grades and going getting a job and a good job, you know, with benefits and retiring in 40 years, and then you can live out the golden years. Yeah, that was so 50 years ago until, like, wake up. You know, you've got to have multiple streams of income now, right? Mm-hmm, you know, you have to do things differently. So you have to change. And if you want to ride with the old school stuff, then you're not really looking for you know, you're going to have a much tougher time. So if you want to fast track yourself, just start working on your purpose. And in this way, you don't even realize the time that's passing, how long it's been since you got a hug or a kiss, or because you're so full at the end of the day with what with helping somebody else, with blessing other people with your talent. You're so full with yourself until you don't actually need anybody for the moment. Right? You want somebody, but you don't need them. And I think that we're like in this, I need somebody. No, you don't. You need you right now. Let's focus on you. And so
that's what I loved about the chapter. I said that's what I loved about the chapter, that it was really focusing on, you know, you need to work on yourself. Not enough people do that, Elam. I mean, and like you said, it's such a simple concept, but people don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they miss it. They really think I always have to be coupled up. If I get divorced, oh my God, I'm alone now. No, you're not alone. Okay, you can still go on, and you need to just heal from that. And like you say, find your purpose. So many people just jump into these relationships and then immediately say, oh, I want to marry this person. Then they break up, and then they jump into another relationship, and it's just a mess.
Absolutely.
We have Pastor Don Junior, CEO, has a question.
Greetings in the name of the Father. Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you haven't heard my voice already, my name is Pastor Don Junior, CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, based in sunny Las Vegas. And I want to give kudos to all the hosts and everybody moderating on this platform. It's been a lot of great meat. And what I want to I want to ask, brother, and I was taking notes and I didn't write down your name. I do apologize. But my question is, with having such passion and purpose, and how do you celebrate the small wins? Can you kind of talk about that? Because sometimes we're so busy beating ourselves up, we never celebrate the small wins. And on our journey and out to success, sometimes that small wins give us that confidence to keep going and getting back in the game. And you did say it perfectly. It's not that you get tired. You just need to rest because you're like a little – I don't use the word burnt out, but you've been going so many hours at once. If you drive a car 10,000 miles without an oil change, it's going to break down. So at some point, there has to be some rest there. But if you can kind of talk about how to celebrate the small victories for the CEOs, investment makers, and the moguls of tomorrow.
This is going to sound weird. And because I still struggle with that, but I'm going to share with you how I celebrate the small wins. I celebrate the small wins by not looking at myself, right? Because we're the biggest critics of ourselves, right? If somebody is looking in the mirror this morning and they're saying, I'm too fat or I'm too skinny. And somebody, when you walk outside, somebody's going to be like, man, you look fine, right? You look great, right? So it's difficult to look at ourselves, right? So I celebrate the small wins by people like Carl. I look at other people and I celebrate their successes, right? So in doing that, that fills me because it's kind of like I know this person, or I know that person. I'm watching other people's journeys. So just follow me for a second. When you celebrate other people and their wins, then it comes back to you, right? So when I go, and so they highlight something about myself that I didn't see. Because if I'm sitting here looking at myself, I can't see those small wins. I can't see. I had, you know, a very, very good friend of mine. We've been cool for like about 20 years. And about a couple of months ago, he said, man, do you realize you're an author? I'm like, yeah, so I got one book. And he's like, no, think about that. When you die, you're going to be on somebody's table forever. And I was like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. And so it's something, and that's small. That's a small win, right? So he was like, man, so he celebrated me. I missed that. He highlighted it. So I couldn't even see it. So if I'm answering your question, I would say I celebrate the small victories by celebrating other people's victories that I think are like grandiose, right? Because your ordinary is what's extraordinary to you is ordinary to somebody else. Because you're just walking in your talent. When you operate inside of your talent, it just looks like you're just being regular. That's why when Carl said, and I mean, his story is like, it's textbook when he was making a statement, because I remember making that statement as well, can I really do this? So he's just operating, doing what he feels like is regular, and somebody else is like, man, make this shirt, make this, make this that. And he's like, can I make the shirt? Can I make the pants? And so he just goes in there and just makes the shirt and makes the pants, right? And all of a sudden, boom, now other people, you know, even on this phone are like, man, you're doing this and you're doing that. So in his mind, he's downloading that now. And he's like, oh, okay, I can feel good about myself, about this, about that. Does that make sense, sir?
100%, man. The power in hearing and learning, just what you have made relevant. I think it was either somebody on the panel said, you can't start out. You have to learn. Somebody has to teach you first. You have to watch somebody else, then you can formulate your own plan. But if you don't watch somebody do it, it's kind of hard to come up with your own plan. So, yeah, I'm 100%, man. I just love the energy, the life, and the peaceful spirit that's here. It's wisdom being shared, 100% being applied, and at the same time, it's coming back next week. Okay, we applied the wisdom. What didn't work? Okay, we applied the wisdom. What didn't work? So it's iron sharpened iron. Generational curses being broke every time y'all speak. It's powerful, man. I'm stepping out the
door.
Wow, y'all on fire.
Thank you, Pastor John.
Thank you, sir.
That's what we're trying
Thank you.
Do. And, I, you know, that's... Yeah. Elon's book, I've been promoting it so much because I have a lot of friends that are going through divorce or they're single and, you know, they're just focused on what am I going to do now? Who am I going to be with? Am I ever going to be married again? And it's like, it's a big world out there. There is more to life than being in a relationship. That should
again.
Be something that's just complimentary to you, it'll come, but you know, you have something you need to be doing, and even if you know, it's basic to be a mother, they have kids. Okay, you're setting an example for your kids, so you need to, they're watching you, so you know, you have something more to do than worry about, am I going to have a man? I'm sorry, I just think that's just for me right now, that is low priority. I just have
and
too
I think
much
that
on
I think
plate.
That what happens. I'm glad you just made that statement. I think that what happens, and I want ladies who are listening, I want you to hear this. I think a lot of times we get extreme, right? We go from I need a man, I need a man, I need a man, right? So now you're barking up the wrong tree that way because you're not following your purpose, right? Then you go to the other side. I don't need nobody, right? I don't need anybody. I don't need it. Okay, all right. So. Now you give off this aura, right, as if, you know, you're holier than and greater than everything, right? And now when your companion might get sent to you, because you might get sent somebody while you're in the middle of your journey, right? It's not like, okay, you found your purpose and you reach success in the Golden Shores and now somebody gets sent to you. No, while you're on your path, you get sent somebody sometimes, right? But now you like, okay, I don't need nobody. And now here in walks your companion, right? He bumps into you at the grocery store, right? And y'all get to talking, right? That night, y'all on the phone or the next night, right? And, you know, I don't need nobody. And he's sitting up there like, oh, okay, all right. And maybe you don't need anybody, but you're coming off like, you know, and so, and that's why personal development, that's why counseling up, that's why, you know, not coaching yourself is important along your journey, right? What are you reading?
Right.
Right? What seminars are you going to? Right? What workshops are you going to? Yes, it's nice that on Sundays you open that book and you listen to that sermon for an hour or two. That's great, right? But then you don't touch anything else Monday through Saturday, right? You're watching the wrong things. Television, it's telling your vision, right? So you're watching the wrong things. Right, and then you're downloading the wrong information, right? Whether it's on TV or whether it's on your phone or social media, whatever, right? So it's a complete package that has to come with it. Walk in your purpose, personally develop yourself, love yourself, wait. Right,
mm-hmm.
That's all a big
right.
package. You got to do all those, and you can say, oh, that's a lot. Well, don't you get up in the morning and put your clothes on, and then get in the car, and then go to work, and do your job, and so you're already used to doing a bunch of things, right? You got to
mm-hmm.
do a bunch of things for yourself. Stop
right.
doing so much stuff for other people.
Other people.
Do something
mm-hmm.
for yourself. Focus on you, right? And if
mm-hmm.
and for those who are already married and you might be in the middle of, you know, I don't know what's going on. Okay, well, you made a decision to go ahead and partner up with somebody, right? Now you do have to continue to, you know, remain inside of your marriage or whatever and focus on yourself. You got to do both, right? Because, again, we get extreme. Okay, well, yeah, I'm married, and somebody might be listening and say, okay, you know what, I'm not even going to think about my husband and my kids. I'm just going to focus on myself. No.
No.
No. You already made a decision to be
married.
With this. You got to do both now, okay? That's
yeah.
why my single people are in the best situation, because you don't have to turn around right now and say, oh, now I got to focus on the kids and on my husband and the kids and me. No, you don't have to do that. You can just focus
mm-hmm.
on you and a couple of bills, right? You're in a great situation. Be happy. Because
mm-hmm.
some people
yeah.
got married, hitched up for the wrong reasons, and now you sitting up there mad talking about somebody else doesn't make you happy. That's not their job. It's your
right.
job to make yourself happy. Now you have to figure that out and be a companion with somebody else. You got to do both. And I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry. Right? You got to
right.
do if you go to the other side of the fence. Huh?
I think it's a cycle, though, Elam. It's how you were brought up. You know, if you were brought up in a home and that's what you saw,
Yeah, we all saw that. I totally agree.
Yeah. That needed, well, no, if you saw a parent, whether it was they were together or whether they weren't, if you saw that person needing to have somebody all the time, you know, different people, a revolving door, because some people see that and then, you know, it's like, what are you teaching your children? So now you're an adult and you're like, oh, I got to have this person. I can't be by myself. They're not taught to know how to be by themselves. And then once
yep.
they get to become an adult, they don't understand how to be by themselves, how to love themselves, you know, and just be. It's always they need to fill that void.
Well,
mm-hmm.
let me just throw this last, because I know we probably don't have a lot of time left, but another thing
I'll
I just want to encourage. Oh, okay. Another thing I want to encourage everybody to do, all right, and this one is very, very critical, and I wish that I knew this. Oh, gosh, I wish I knew this beforehand. And, again, it's very basic, right? Get yourself a mentor in three different areas, if you can, right? Mind, body, and soul, right? And when
mm-hmm.
let's just take that further. Let's just take mind, right, from a personal development
okay.
perspective, right? And that could be from,
mm-hmm.
you know, from a business aspect, right? From how to become better. You know, what are you reading? I just want to throw this one book out there that is called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill, right? And in that book, the devil is basically, and it's not like a demonistic type thing, right? He basically is having a conversation with the devil. And the devil is basically, he's asking the devil, right? And that's the same author of Think and Grow Rich, which is the number two most read book on the planet, right? So Napoleon Hill is asking the devil, how do you get people, right? And one thing he says is that, you know what, I own 98% of the people out there, right? God can have those other two people. I don't even want those people because they keep driving towards success and it just gets on my nerves, so I just let that go, right? So I own 98% of the people out there, right? And so how I get them is I put stuff in front of them and I take it away. And I put it in front of them and I take it away. And after I do that a couple of times, the average person gives up on where they were supposed to go, right? So if you don't realize that, and you're just like, oh, well, it was me, and I don't, you know, let's just take Carl. Maybe he was trying to be a tailor here, and he couldn't do it, right, and or whatever, right? So he didn't give up. Right, he went, and it's almost like, just like in the Bible, we hear about people going into the wilderness and praying and doing, you know, and just being. He went to New York. That was like him going into the wilderness, right? And went and got diligent, right? And then he popped back out. People don't want to go in the wilderness. Well, you don't know that you have to be in the wilderness and that you're going to be going through something, if you're not personally developing yourself. If you don't have a mentor to keep pushing you to say, keep going, Mara, keep going, Nikki, keep going, keep going, keep going. So you need a mentor, right? Somebody who's ahead of you. Not your cousin and them, not the person you grew up with, right? Not somebody you cool with. You need somebody to check you,
right?
Hold you back in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And understand you over time. So if you get that as you know, when you're a teenager or in your early 20s, so when you hit your 30s or you hit your 40s, this person has had an opportunity of watching you, and so when you trip and fall and bust your nose, they're gonna be like, remember in 05 when you ran into such and such, and remember how they're pushing you back in the game. It's like a coach, right? So you need a coach from a mind perspective, right? Then body, right?
Mm-hmm.
We always got to keep our bodies in check, right? Because of your body, that's one of the things the devil was saying, that the three ways that he gets people: food, sex, and the ability to not keep your mouth shut. That's how he gets those three ways are how most people fall off the planet and die. You can tie everything back to that. So think about that. Food.
Yeah.
Well, if you eat the wrong things, right, then you're sluggish, right? Then you're not moving the way you're supposed to, right? Then when your opportunity comes along, you miss it just because you ate the wrong thing. Something just that simple. So if you get your body in check, right, and eat and consume the right things, right, and so from a mentoring perspective, you want to have somebody that's kind of like, you know, exercise partner, you know, something like that. That's kind of like, you know, you wrap yourself around people who are shaking and moving correctly in that area, right? And then soul, something as simple, well, it's not simple, right? Let's get our spirituality right. Whoever your deity is, I'm a Christian, right? So me and God, we rock, right? But then when I'm falling, when I get upset, you know, when I'm, you know, to that, when I'm on 10, I have a mentor I can pick up the phone and call and say, yada, 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 and go off. And then that person can say, you know what, Elam, I understand that. And in Psalms it says blah, 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 right? So you know what, I'm going to be very transparent. On Thursday, somebody said something, and I'm telling you. When it first happened, I was okay. Then I felt like the person threatened me, and I went straight to them. And I was in a meeting, and I was going off on the person on text because I could not say anything. And then, watch this, then I erased it because I remembered in my mind something that somebody said. Then the person said something else. Oh, this is over Facebook Messenger, me, the person, and somebody else. And I said, what, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was about to come back again, and then I deleted it. I said, no, I'm not going to say anything. And then I'm still on 10. I'm smoking, right? But I'm in this meeting, so it's like I'm trying to calm down. And then a friend of mine, then I text a friend, and I said, man, you need to get your boy before I snap off on him. And he said, man, listen, you in a meeting, because he knew where I was, right? He was like, you're in a meeting, and you need to receive that message, and you over here dealing with this? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's a trick of the enemy.
Yeah.
So I went
the noise that you said to shut out.
Exactly. I went from 10. I was on 10. I went to 2.
Yeah.
And I sat back in my seat, and I put my phone down and said, you know what? He's right. Right?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just that simple.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
All the thoughts that I had in my mind for that person I was going to type out, erased, and I let it go. So you have to have somebody, because, again, think about it, food, sex, and the ability to not keep your mouth shut. So I wasn't keeping my mouth shut for a second, right? And who knows what damage I could have done if I had said what I was going to say. But because I had people around me, right, that you know, you have to have somebody to check you. He checked me, and I backed down. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So Even as I'm saying this, I'm not trying to act like that I got it, right? I'm on a journey, too. We all are.
Right. We all are. Mm-hmm.
And when I read that chapter, what I thought about, too, Elam, a good point was, you know what, I know, and I'm open book too. There was a long time that I was just letting life lead me. It's like, okay, I'll go here, I'll go there, or whatever else. You have to take control of your life, and you have to be the navigator of your life. And that's, to me, when things start coming together and start making sense. And that's kind of a takeaway that I took from the chapter two, you know, and I wanted to say that to the listeners. Take control of your life. Really look at it and see where you want to go. Stay in prayer. It's going to come to you. Be patient as well. You know, things do not happen overnight. And even when you look at other people, stop looking at other people as well.
Oh, yes.
Because
yes.
There's a lot of people who, you know, I have friends who look at me and say, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe the book is so successful and all this other stuff. And you just wrote it overnight. No, I've been working on this book for 13 years. You know, I started my blog. I've been building an audience and stuff. This hasn't happened overnight, and it's not easy to do. And, you know, you just can't look at somebody else and think, oh, it's just easy. It takes work. And I think that's the main thing we need to tell people. It is going to take work. It is a journey. You're going to have ups and downs, but you just have to stay the course.
Yeah, you have to roll with it and stay positive.
And I cannot
stress
enough. Stop worrying about if you're going to get married or if you're going to get booed up. Get off of Tinder. Stop swiping. I'm sorry. I just think that noise right there comes from, you know, it's just thrown at us. You got to be in a relationship. Get on Tinder. You know, all these apps are so easy to download and swipe and connect with the person.
Most of those apps aren't relationships. The people aren't looking for relationships. They're just looking for someone.
Looking for a relationship, though, and they don't understand that. Like, I was talking to our good friend, Brigitte, and I liked what she said, because I said, you know, eventually I will want companionship. She goes, okay, wait, you have to define companionship, because companionship means different things to different people. So when you say that, he may hear something totally different. So that's another thing. People, you know, you need to say what you mean and mean what you say. Because there would be people, like you say, Elon, they're saying, oh, I don't need anybody. I don't want to get married. And that's just like them trying to protect their feelings. They really do desperately want to be married and in a relationship. And they're just their own worst enemy.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Elam, reading chapter 14, it took me about 30 minutes. I was at, and I started reading it, and I had to tell after
that's
I read
long
it,
for
I said,
her. It usually takes her 5 minutes.
Yeah, because I had to go back. So I like the way at the very beginning of your book you say, just think of this as 24 big brothers standing around you giving you advice. So I was like, okay, cool. I can take that. So then I got into chapter 14, and I was like, wait a minute. I was, really? I mean, I felt some type of way about it, and I don't really understand. And I told Ma, I was like, I don't understand why I felt that way. But then I had to go back, and I read it again, and I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I think I felt that way because I'm not in that situation. But I do know of people, you know, and I hear stories of women that are in that situation that don't know, you know, you don't need someone that, don't know that you can just be in yourself and try to love yourself and find you and love you before you try to bring anybody else into the relation, into your life, friendship or anything.
Yeah.
Because if you don't love you, you can't even really be a good friend to somebody, you know, female or male.
That's true.
So, you know, if you don't love you, then you're going to always be the friend that says, well, you always do this, or, you know, you're not a good friend. You are the Debbie Downer type friend, and you don't need to be that type of person. So I had to go back and reread it again, and then once I read it again, I was like, okay, these are 24 men. They're giving me advice, and there's some people that really need this. At my point in my life right now, and I'm like, Mom, I'm open book. I'm single. I've been single probably since 2007 or 2008 for that reason. I'm beyond the finding myself. It took me a long time to find me, love me,
and just be happy with me. I'm happy with me right now. I'm happy being single.
Same here.
And people ask me all the time, you're 42, I'm 42 years, 41, I'm 41 years old. You're 41 years old. You're not married. You've never been married. I was like, why? I had somebody ask me that last week. I was like, well, what's the big deal about being married? You know, you have, that person hadn't come to me yet. You know, God hadn't sent me who I'm supposed to be with, and I wasn't ready. I wouldn't have been ready in my 20s to be married with somebody. I would have been divorced probably twice or more. You can't, you know, you, when you, seriously, Mar knows, seriously.
I was having a conversation, she would have been. But I was having a conversation with Jackie, my cousin, earlier this week, and it was along the same thing, Elam. You know, I married my high school sweetheart. So when I say I was letting life lead me, it was, you know, he had this plan. He wanted to be married. He wanted to have kids. I really didn't know if I ever wanted to be married or have kids at all. But, you know, I got an ultimatum where he said, okay, I'm ready for this, or I'm going to have to do something else. I'm like, well, I don't want to marry to somebody else. So, you know, I just kind of went along with it and stuff. And I think that's why it took me so long to find my purpose and get to my writing. Because like Nikki, I'm in a good place right now. You know, I wake up every day happy. Yeah, I'm writing all hours of the night. I hardly get any sleep. But I don't feel tired. I don't feel like, you know, I dread it. I love it. I mean, I have to get this writing out. I have to help people. You know, the radio show, talking to people. And I think, you know, I want to share with people, learn from what I feel like my mistakes are.
Yep.
You know, and share it with the world. If I had found myself and really thought through it, I probably would be like Nikki and probably just now getting married, to be honest with you. I do not believe I would have gotten married at 22.
I agree. I can agree. And again, like you said, you become so full of just helping people and not paper chase. I mean, again, to be transparent, that's what I got out into. Oh, you know, at 21 years old, I'm making like $90,000 a year, right? So I'm doing it, right? So okay, all right. But then years later, I'm like, man, listen, you know, this is not. But somebody else is looking at me like, man, you're making XYZ dollars, and I'm like, no, but it's really no. Listen, this is what you need to do. Uh-huh. Even I say right before my kids hit, when they started hitting high school and they were about to go to college. So at this point, I'm in the middle of like a personal development era, and I was like, hey, just in case if you didn't know, if you don't want to go to college, it's okay. My wife snapped off on me like, what do you mean? They need to go to college. And I said, well, no, if their purpose is somewhere else, right? I mean, think about it. Somebody's making millions of dollars making doorknobs, right? Or hangers, right? Don't you have a hanger in your house? You got your clothes are on hangers right now, right? Somebody's making millions of dollars doing that. Did they have to go to college for that? No. They followed their purpose and they made a freaking hanger, right? Now they're making millions of dollars doing that. Not saying that education isn't important, but let's focus on what makes us, what drives us, right? Because at that point, then you're able to be happy within yourself. Once you're happy within yourself, then somebody else can come along and complement your happiness, right? And then along that way, so we're going to focus on our purpose, right? All right? And then we're going to be comfortable where we are, right, and comfortable inside of our journey, right? And then you know what? You need the coaches around you. That's why if I want to know who Nikki is, Nikki can talk to me all day long. Only thing I have to do is pick up the phone and call the 4 or 5 closest people to you, and I can find out pretty much how much you make, right? I'll know I'll know what type of mentality you got, right? What type of drama you in, right? Why? Because the people around you represent you. Don't tell me y'all just cool because you've known each other since you were young. No, you guys have a common thread. You can tell me about their drama, and then you tell me about your other friend's drama, and then you tell me about another friend's drama. 9 times out of 10, you got a whole bunch of drama too. You know,
you'll never find any drama on me though, Elam.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm sorry, bad example. I'm talking about people, period.
Nikki don't deal with drama.
I know, but I'm just saying, at the end of the day, You have to watch who's wrapped around you, who's covering you, who's praying for you. And just as simple as having mentors in your mind, body, and soul area, you wrap those things around you. You pass stuff like this off to your children. This is where generational wealth starts popping up, right? Mm-hmm. It might not happen in this time, but if you wrap yourself around these ideals, right, your subsequent generation will remember you. The reason why you don't know your great-great-great-granddaddy is because he didn't leave you nothing, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't set a precedence, right? He was probably a nice man, but that's okay, right? Put yourself in a situation where your great-great-great-grandchildren are going to remember you because of what you left behind, and mm-hmm. you left behind a legacy of driving towards your purpose, right, and becoming a holistic person, right? So these are just this. So when you say what to do, when you look at and if you ask the question of what to do while you wait, bottom line is focus on you and becoming the best you that you can be. Look, and when you look in that mirror, that is the only person that's actually against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we're our own worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy.
Yeah, get out of your own
way. Yeah, I know I am.
And I promise you, when you do that, that's why people like, you know, when they start saying they don't believe in God, they don't believe in God, watch this. Walk in your purpose and watch God show up. Because when you get in those points, when you have no idea what you're doing, I promise you, even when sometimes I've spoken and I'm just like, I have no idea what I'm about to talk about, right? And I open my mouth. I promise you, and words come out, and you know how like on a cartoon where like the cartoon's talking and their eyes look down at their mouth like, what am I doing? That's exactly what happens. I'm like, ooh, I'm almost like, I need to go back and write that down because that was pretty good, Elam. You know, but what is that? That is the Holy Spirit showing up, right? And that's God showing up and showing and coming through me, whereas I'm watching God come out of me. Right? You want to see God? Go follow your purpose. You will watch God come right out of you, and you'll be like, I don't even know how that happened. Right? I don't even know how I came up with the money. I don't know how I bumped into this person. I don't know how I'm on this talk show. I don't know how I'm on this radio show. Follow your purpose and watch what happens.
Yeah. Step out on faith and realize, too, that society does not set the formula for life. You do not have to, like you say, do this, do that, go to college, get married, have kids, go live out in the suburbs, buy a dog, buy 3 cars, whatever. You know, society, it's not a formula. You, once again, you have a purpose. We all have a unique purpose. And don't feel like you have to do what the TV says you have to do. I mean, and the media and what they put out in movies. There's one movie like Revolutionary Road. I don't know if y'all saw that with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. And they had met and they had all these plans to do these fabulous things and travel the world. Well, they ended up just having kids and living in the suburbs. They were disconnected. She was really unhappy. And then she told him let's move to Paris. You quit your job and let's go do what we said we were going to do. They were going to do that, and then she got pregnant again, and he got offered more money. Now, he hated his job, but he's like, well, I got offered more money. We should stay here. And one thing she said in there is she was like, I love the line. She said, who made these rules anyway? Who said that we have to live in the suburbs, that we have to do all this? You know, she said she wanted to live again because she felt dead in that life. And that movie came to mind when I was reading chapter 14 as well. Jackie, you're quiet.
Jackie's taking it all in.
No, I'm taking it all in. Look, I'm on mute. Sorry. No, I'm just taking it all in. No, I think you're saying some amazing things. And I agree. I mean, I think a lot of it is about, you know, finding yourself and being comfortable in who you are, right? And not feeling like you have to fit into other people's time frame, right? And I think that's also why so many people get into bad situations, because that's
aspire to. We told people, right, you got to do this in a certain amount of time. You got to get married in a certain amount of time. You got to have children in a certain amount of time. You know, we live, you know, we grew up in a world where if you weren't married, you know, if you hit 30 and you weren't married, everybody's looking at you like, okay, wait, what's more, especially if you hit 40 and it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking like, what's going on? But it's no different
what's
with a man, right? You know, you look at a man and like, okay, what's going on, right? Because we try to group people into these, you know, these timetables, right? And what I've learned is oftentimes, you know, it frustrates me when I hear people always say, oh, well, the man, he's not ready, he's not ready. I'm like, a lot of times the woman is not ready, you know, and
right.
I can speak to the, on my own. Like, I'm like, I didn't, there was clearly many times and many years, I'm like, no, I don't want to be married, right? Like, I'm like, I'm happy where I am and doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I'm so focused and I'm so, you know, busy and I'm so, you know, I'm doing things I love. Like, I don't, like, that's not where I am right now. And I'm okay with that, right? But it's like, you know, a lot of times, and it's not a, when a person says they're not ready, it doesn't even mean something's wrong with them while they're not ready. They're just not ready to share their life with someone, right? I mean, it does. It takes a lot of work, and it's a big commitment. You know,
marriage is a lot of work.
And so it's not always the man is not ready. Sometimes the woman isn't either. Sometimes women have to grow into who they're going to be, and they have to become wiser as well. Like, people think a woman, you know, they say, oh, the man's not ready. Well, you think a woman at 22 is ready, right? I mean, you're still trying to figure out who you are, too. It's not always about the, you know, a lot of times, you know, and you hear this, I mean, the frustration from men about women, you know, and the things they go through. It's because she wasn't ready either. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just think women naturally are ready. No, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, women have to grow and evolve, too. It's not like it just happens overnight. You know what I mean?
And not all
I completely agree.
Yeah.
You know,
agree.
That's why when you talk to your grandmothers and they, you talk about, oh, like, they're so, they live, they're wise, they've been through life, they've grown, they've changed, you know what I mean? And so all that advice they give you, that's wisdom, that's age, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You don't have that too. I don't know a grandmother that'll tell you that she's the same at 60 as she was at 22, you know what I mean?
Right.
She's been wiser.
I know.
You know
I wish
mean?
I had the common sense that I have now back then.
Yeah, and everybody says that one
save
right
me.
There.
Yeah.
Everybody
says
that.
Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always here. If I knew a teaspoon of what I, my grandmother used to say that, a teaspoon of what I know now when I was young, I'd have done it all differently.
Well, one of the things that we're doing right now, because it does say that as generations get older, they get wiser, but they're weaker. And what we're doing is even the platform that we have right now, somebody's child is listening. Somebody's going to go back and share this information with their children and help make them just a little bit wiser. So with that teaspoon, you know, example, we're giving them that teaspoon right now. So that's why as you begin to have platforms such as this, because we're sharing the knowledge. I mean, one of the reasons why that the African-American female right now is the most educated genre is because they paid attention to grandma. They looked at certain things back then and they said, okay, well, you know what? I want to have my education. I want to proceed forward in this. So now you have, you know, the African-American female is the most educated, right? So now, so that got passed. So they're going to turn around and add some wisdom to the next generation. I mean, I don't even know what they're probably going to be able to fly, right? I don't even know what's going to happen next. So that's why the blessing that we're adding to people right now is passing on this information. And the reason why that I wrote Understanding a Man is because I wanted to take the some of this wisdom and pass it on. Because somebody's going to pass this on. So now we have, you know, 20-year-olds that are going to pick up on this and say, okay, because the manual is not only for women, it's also for men, because I got married at 25, right? Most of the people that were, I'd say 95% of the people that were around me were not married. So when I had certain thoughts, right, or when I did certain wrong things like the chapter Just Between Us, you know, when I got married, every time I ran into something, as we all know happens, right, I called my parents.
right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, Michelle's not doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? You know what?
Mm-hmm.
That was the wrong thing to do, because what did I do?
Sure.
I built animosity between my mother and my wife. So when me and Michelle made up, now my mom's still heated at Michelle. And it took a decade to repair that, right? So I'm sharing with people ahead of time, hey, look, guys, get a you know what? Your coach is your pastor, right? Your coach in your relationship is your best man, right? Your coach, for ladies, is your maid of honor. So now start picking the right person before you get married, right? So that when you it's not a question of if, when you run into something, right, you call the right person, not your mom or your dad or your homegirl, right, who can't keep a relationship, right? You're going to call her for advice. Like, good luck with that. You know, that's not going to work.
Right.
So we're taking those teaspoons, as I think Jackie was just saying. We're taking this conversation as a teaspoon to somebody who's 20, right? To somebody who's 25, to somebody who's 30, right? And we're and we're giving them, and they can take that this elixir that we're giving them, and then they can go forth and do their and get there faster than we got there.
Exactly, because I have my daughter in the room with me right now. So, and that is, I like I said again earlier on there, my daughter is watching me, so I have to set an example. I do not want her going through the same things that I went through, making the same mistakes. It's my job to help guide her, but also not control her life and say, you just have to do this. But it is important that we share our experiences with each other. I think a lot of people try to put on airs. And there's like even a poem that I wrote that said the mask we wear, you want to project a certain image. And that's fine, but it also hurts, because if you're not sharing your mistakes and your experiences and being real with somebody, then how are we all going to grow? You know, like I have Nikki. So Nikki knows everything. I'm completely honest with her. There's nothing she doesn't know about me, and she is the one that checks me, because I will get negative. You know, I have a bad temper. I'll go to 10 in a minute, and she's like, no, that person doesn't matter. Calm down. You know, it is important to have that person, and she helps me. You know, she's on the outside. She's not in the situation, so she can be more objective than I can be.
Well, I tell her that is not the image that Mar Pros is going for.
Yeah, she doesn't want
not the image.
Slapping somebody, or you know, yeah, we don't want that.
No.
Yep.
We don't need you in jail or anything like that. So. Wow.
Did I hear you say we don't need to give bail? What'd you say?
No. Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
We don't need anybody paying bail. That's important.
Yeah, that's important.
That's so
well, Elam, what? Tell us what chapter we're going to be talking about next Saturday. What did you decide?
Man.
Yeah, what's the homework for me?
Right.
Well,
Oh
man. I think that the. Do I sound like I'm not prepared? Right. I think that next week's chapter should be there's just so many. I think chapter 4 because this one was more for the single people, right? So
yeah,
I think that the next week should be more towards the people who are married, right? And I think Do You See Me is next week's chapter, which is chapter 4. And that's the beauty of this manual, is that we don't have to go in chronological order, because we can bounce around from one chapter to the next to the next. And because they're not contingent upon each other, but at some point you will need one of these chapters. So that's the great part.
Right.
Each chapter stands alone. So if anybody's wondering, like, why is next week's chapter not 15? Because 15 has nothing to do with 14.
Right.
So. Do
and
you
tell
see
everybody
me?
Where they can get the book. Elam, so that they, if they don't have it yet, they get the book and, you know, join in the discussion.
Absolutely. So you can go to understandingaman.com, and that will give you an opportunity of actually having a signed copy, and we can get that out to you. Or you can also go and purchase it on Amazon, actually on Kindle as well. The audiobook will be forthcoming. But right now, if you can purchase it on Amazon, audiobook's coming. And, you know, for my ebook listeners, I mean watchers or whatever, it's on Kindle as well. So you can follow me on Instagram under Elam B. King, and that's the same handle for my Twitter and for my, what's that thing called, Facebook as well. Or you can also follow us at Understanding a Man on Facebook as well.
Awesome. And I just have to say,
she loves audio.
She likes to listen to the audiobook.
Oh, I have to do that because that's me. Like if I sit down and start reading, I'm falling asleep. A lot of people like to do that. within 5 I don't care what, I could be reading about JFK or daggone it. It's no matter what it is, I'm going to sleep. I am.
Yeah.
I listen to him in the car at work,
Mm-hmm. Thank you for, you know, agreeing to come on every Saturday, be in our book club of the month. Also, thank you for introducing me to Carl. I just want all our listeners to know that, you know, Elam has been just a big help to Mara Prose. I mean, you've come on the show. We love your energy. We love your book, and you've been so supportive. And that was just from me reaching out to you randomly on Instagram. And you wouldn't even know that when we haven't been friends for years. I feel like I've known you my whole life. So I just want to say a big thank you, Elam, because I know
you.
You've got a busy schedule and you've taken time out to do this. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I mean,
but
you know,
Elam,
uh-huh.
I was going to tell you, tell the people where you're going to be because you're going to be doing some pop-ups.
Oh, yeah. Actually, speaking of which, I think next Saturday we're going to be, I'm going to be in Norfolk. So I think, aren't we doing doing it on Friday of next week instead of Saturday? Because next Saturday, I'm actually going to be in Norfolk between 10 and 1 Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think I'm not going to be on this platform on next Saturday, but we're going to do it on Friday because of that. So if you're in the Norfolk or Hampton Roads area, I'll be there, Two Sides of the Truth, myself and Nikki Daniel, who actually has a domestic violence survivor group, so partnered with her. We're doing, and Cabana and Keone, we're doing a panel discussion called Two Sides to the Truth, so that's going to be a lot of fun. You can get the address, off the top of my head, I don't know, but you can look on any of the social media, you'll see that on there. And then on the 19th, which is a Thursday, it's going to be Understanding a Man versus Taria Avant, who is just shaking and moving, doing so many great things. So we're going to be in Houston,
mm-hmm.
and I get a chance to meet Mara for the first time in person, right?
Yay.
So,
that's right. Yay.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then on, on the 28th, I will be in Charlotte. An amazing woman, Marjorie Burfel, wrote Intimate Conversations with Marjorie. So we're going to have, and that's going to be between 6 and 9 in Charlotte. And all the locations, you can go to my social media and see where those are. And looking long term, for those of you who want to just take this to the next level but at the same time have a little relaxation, on September 14th through the September 17th, we have we have the Find Her, Keep Him retreat, which is going to be the Royal Vision cruise that we're going to be taking to the Bahamas. So
we will be there.
Yes,
absolutely. So we're going to, and you know, for those of you who are like, oh, I want to be there, right now it's only about $561 for double occupancy. I'll say that 3 times, right? Mm-hmm. And we have the payment plan going on. It's only about $100 deposit. So yes, so that's long term, and we have some other great stuff we're going to be doing here in Atlanta. I'll be partnering with some people that. are really just great. I don't want to say yet, but that's going to be happening in like June and July. Having some other panel discussions. So, and if anybody's interested in me coming to their area to do a panel discussion, because people love those, you know, feel free to reach out to me. Yeah, feel free to reach out to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, and my family in Charlotte will be there.
Okay, cool.
So my cousin Denise, and my aunt, and they all plan to be there. They're excited about it. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I try to support you as much as I can.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for this platform.
I was telling my mom about the cruise last night.
I'm sorry?
I said I was telling my mom about the cruise last night. So
Nikki's very excited about the cruise. Every time you post about it, she sends me a post.
Excited. Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate it.
She doesn't. So this is big. Nikki doesn't. She just kind of goes with the flow. But when she sends me stuff repeatedly, I know that, okay, this is not an option. I have to be on this cruise with her.
Well, I appreciate it so much. And just even just meeting yourself, just both of you guys, this is a divine assignment. So what I get to, what's fun is that along the way I get to meet great people like yourself. And then I sit back and I say, how did I meet them again? Oh, yeah. I don't even remember. But it's kind of like, it's just kind of like a blur. And like you said, it's kind of like we're like family, and that's the fun stuff for people who if you're questioning should you follow your purpose, it becomes fun. If you figure out your purpose, you will never work a day in your life. So just take that journey. It could go through the humps and bumps, and I promise you, not only will your spouse be sent to you, but you won't age as fast, right? Your skin looks better, right? I mean, there's all types
that's
of stuff.
That's a big deal to me too. Yeah. Yeah.
everything. You just have a glow about you, and you're happy. You're happy, So, even when you get in a funk, then you start walking in your purpose, and you're happy. Like, oh, okay, good. So, I could go on and on. I know we got to go.
I know.
Now, before we leave, I want to put my cousin on the spot again, because like I said, I am a proud cousin. I want her to talk about her fabulous barbecue sauce and her upcoming event.
Can I get this sauce? Because summertime coming, Memorial Day around the corner. Yeah, holler at me. I need to know about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Jackie, you're on.
Uh-huh.
Hello. Sorry,
yeah.
I keep going to mute. What did you want? I'm sorry, Mara. What were you asking?
We want the secret sauce.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot. So before we end the call, I want you to tell them about where they can get the sauce and your upcoming event.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff coming up, actually. Well, they can go on the website. It's SouthernBellsBBQ.com, and it's B-E-L-L-E-S. SouthernBellsBBQ.com, and we have 7 flavors. We have, and I'm actually working on some new flavors right now that I'm really excited about. And so I was just trying to keep it fresh and fun. Our team, and if you follow our social media pages, if you follow Instagram and Facebook, which is SBellsBBQ or SouthernBellsBBQ on Facebook, on Instagram it's SBellsBBQ. We always list the shows of where we're going to be. We do have some stuff coming up that's going to be in the Maryland area. Actually, we're going to be in Jacksonville, Florida next week at the In Water Boat Show there. But you'll be able to see that on our fan page. And come on out and see us and try the sauce and see what everyone is raving about. But there are going to be a lot of exciting things coming. I know Mara and I, once we find the time, we sit down, we can get this, get our cookbook finalized and everything. She's going to help me.
Yes.
With that, and just doing some exciting, fun things. I definitely try to keep it fun and creative, but I mirror the same thing. When you're doing what you were called to do, it doesn't feel like work. It's not work.
Right.
This is fun for me. Like, I love thinking of things and ideas, and it's always humbling to watch people just enjoy something that I've created, right? It's humbling, right? I tell people, I said, whether people want a bottle or they want several cases,
you know, when people call you and tell you how much they love what you have, you know, and I'll just share just an inspirational story too. And also because God will speak to you in different ways about your past, you know. And I had a friend recently that was telling me his mother is battling with cancer, and she hadn't eaten in days. And then on Easter, they made some chicken, and they put some of the barbecue sauce in the chicken. And he said, when I tell you, he said she ate the whole thing, not just a piece of it, but the whole thing. And he was so overwhelmed by it because she hadn't been eating anything. She hadn't wanted to eat anything. And I said, you know, I told him how humbling that was for me to feel like I could do something, any just that could be such a small part in making her feel better, you know, in this time of need. And those are the things that continue to drive me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was never about the money. It was never about, it was the fact that, you know, like I said, you know, I want this to be a household name. I want to carry on the legacy of my grandmother. Like, I want to build and grow something. I want to create jobs in the market. It was all those things that I wanted to do. But what makes me feel the best is when I get stories like that, you know, or when people want, you know, us to be a part, you know, to give these gifts at weddings and things like that, just to be a part of people's special day, and they feel like you created something so good, right?
Exactly.
That it becomes a memory for them. And that's humbling, right? Because there's so many options and choices out there, right? But when people choose you, right, that's a humbling experience. They can choose so many other people, right? They can choose so many other products. And so I look at that. I appreciate that because I know people have other options. And I just love what I do, right? I love being creative, and I love creating things. And so, you know, I always tell people just keep, you know, keep watching for what we're coming out with next, because this is only the beginning. The sauces are only the beginning. There's going to be a lot of fun things coming, and we're just going to keep growing. It's exciting. Thank you.
That's great. I'm so proud of you. You know, I really am. So, well, we have
I'm proud
had
of you too. And your book is
thank
amazing.
You.
I tell you that when I read
thank
the prologue, I texted you. I was like, okay, for real. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out. I'm already looking for book two. I'm like, wait, what happens? Like, is he alive?
She said, I know. She said, what the hell? Where did he go?
I was like, he's not really dead, is he? I was like, wait. I was like, is he gonna come back? I was like, I can't. I'm like, wait. I need my book.
I see that's nothing. It's very humbling because, you know, Nikki knows I was very, very nervous. I'm confident, like, in my poetry, talking, but when I'm doing, like, fiction, I was not. And it took me a long time to put that out. And the feedback that I'm getting, that everybody's like, oh, my God, where's book two? I'm ready for book two. What happens next? I didn't expect that in this chapter. It's like, that's exactly what I wanted to happen, so. It is humbling, and I'm glad that, you know, I'm entertaining people. Okay.
Well, you are entertaining people. It's a great book.
Yes,
and
you
I
are.
Know it's going to do amazing things. And it was so great
thanks.
Meeting you, you know, being a part of all this today. This is such an inspirational conversation, so thank you for allowing me to be a part of it.
Yes, thank you for taking
thank
the time.
Coming,
Jackie, your schedule is just as crazy as, I don't know, as Elam's, both of y'all.
Right.
So I really appreciate y'all taking the time this morning because Elam's, he's got to go catch a flight. So
yep.
Thank you. So
absolutely. Thank you so much for having
her.
Me.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Next, okay, our homework is chapter 4. Next weekend, listeners, tune in again. I'm not prepared either for next weekend. So who is on, Nikki? I don't even know. Uh-oh, I don't think Nikki knows either.
No, I just had a brain bubble.
Oh, wait. We have, yes, my good friend Mark Polite of
Polite
Society Blog.
Yes,
Mark will be here
my
next
goodness.
Weekend. Okay. I know. We have so much going on. So, yeah, Mark will be on, and he did actually a great interview piece on me that I really appreciated. So, and he'll be talking about all his endeavors and everything else. So, and then, of course, we'll have Elam back, and we'll have our discussion about Chapter 4. So I just want to wish everybody a really great weekend. Thank you again for calling in. Thank you for listening into Prosy's Corner, buying the book. We really appreciate it. Nikki and I have a lot of things coming up, too. We're not going to announce it yet, but one that we can announce is we're going to have a book signing in May in Houston, and it's going to be double book because I'll be releasing my poetry book then. So stay tuned for those details, and then we have a lot of other things that we're trying to plan and put together in between our 9-to-5s. So exciting times, I think, for everybody. So once again, have a great weekend. Thank you, Elam. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Nikki. And we will talk next Saturday.